How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. We have got three jam-packed hours, a lot of ground to cover. And we are so happy that you've made us your choice, noon to 3 Eastern, here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Of course, in the wee hours of the morning, the Senate finally voted on this rescissions package. And the good news is the American taxpayers are no longer going to have to fund this un-American, anti-American rhetoric coming out of NPR and PBS. We will no longer have to fund those insufferable British period dramas. And honestly, if NPR and PBS are so strapped for cash, well, they ought to consider selling the tote bags and umbrellas instead of giving them away. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to one of the individuals in the Senate chamber early this morning, our good friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, hope you're doing well today. Are you awake? That's what we need to know. Are you awake?
Indeed. I was back up here at the Capitol just a few hours after we finished because we had a Judiciary Committee markup this morning. So we finished about 3 o'clock and I was back to work about 7 a.m. And we had to get this spending package or this rescission package done. And Todd, I know you've talked with your listeners a lot about the difference between reconciliation, which is where we can reduce mandatory spending, and rescission, where we can reduce discretionary spending. And that's exactly what we were doing, because a lot of these NGOs and these departments get their appropriation, but then once we start holding them to account for exactly who gets that money, which we don't know until we start digging on it, then we find out that they're paying for things like electric buses in Rwanda and vegan food in Zambia and voter ID programs in Haiti. And the list goes on. And as you mentioned, the people on, there's bipartisan support for breaking NPR apart and not funding NPR because they are very biased. Even our friends on the left admit that NPR is biased.
And as the owner of a radio station, I'm glad I'm not having to pay the bills for my competition across town. So, again, it's just been a great source of frustration for a lot of Americans, and I think it was the right move. Senator?
Yeah, and yeah, Todd, go ahead. If I can add to that, President Reagan started trying to defund NPR and the Corporation for Public Broadcast. That's how long this effort has been going on. And I kind of chuckled last night. I said, Reagan was right. There is no thing closer to eternal life on earth than a federal government program. Look how long it took us.
That is a fair assessment of things. And of course, I'm feeling pretty confident of the House. I know there were some changes made, but again, this is the long game. And this is, a great first step here, Senator. There are a couple of other big stories. And of course, yesterday news came down and you have been right in the thick of all of these big stories. This is huge. Let's talk about the National Education Association and this effort to revoke the federal charter. This is the largest labor union, largest union in the country.
Yes, and it is the only labor union that has a federal charter. So why in heaven's name would Congress give a federal charter and a stamp of approval to a union that platforms their woke agenda, their woke ideology, their left-wing propaganda? And anybody that saw that convention and what was happening on that platform should say, that charter needs to go. Let them break apart and stand on their own if they can get people to pay dues. But the federal government ought not to be a part of that.
No, I'm with you 1,000% there. And this is something, again, Senator, when you look at what's happening in this country, a lot of the bad stuff happening is coming right through the nation's education system. And this is, we really just have to address that.
Yes, we do. And that's why I've teamed up with Rep. Harris over in the House. And we filed this legislation. And as you would expect, the left-wing media just thinks this is the worst thing they have ever heard of.
Which means it's good.
Yeah. You know, it's the right thing to do to make certain that the National Education Association can no longer say they are supported by and they are chartered by the federal government, by the U.S. House, so by the U.S. Senate. So anyway, we will move that bill to remove that charter.
Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And, of course, this legislation, the National Education Association Charter Repeal Act, sponsored by Congressman Mark Harris, our good friend from North Carolina, and Senator Marsha Blackburn, who is my senator here in the state of Tennessee. It really is remarkable and somewhat breathtaking, Senator, when you see the amount of work that you guys and the amount of legislation that the president has been able to get accomplished just thus far into the administration.
Well, he doesn't sleep, and every day he's got a new agenda. And I was thrilled that we got the reconciliation bill through that put the platform in place for the rest of his agenda. We have started the rescissions. The first package was last night, a $9 billion package. That is $90 billion over that 10-year budget window, because in essence, what rescissions does is allow us to take that red ink pen and draw a line through those line items and say, this money is gone. You will no longer put money into these specific items. And it allows us to remove that spending or claw back that spending from that department. A lot of this was USAID and Department of State. So those programs have gone away now. And I'm sure Rwanda and Zambia are not happy about that. I'm sure that the government in Haiti is not happy about that. But they are not going to get our money for voter ID in Haiti, or vegan food in Zambia, or electric buses in Rwanda.
Well said. Senator, I know you are very busy, and I hope you're going to catch a nap sometime today, but we appreciate your great work.
We're always happy to be with you, and people can follow what we're doing. Social media is at Marsha Blackburn, and our website posts everything that we're working on, and it is blackburn.senate.gov.
All right. Senator, thank you again. Senator Marsha Blackburn, everybody, from the great state of Tennessee. We have a lot to talk about, and there is a lot going on, and this is a moment to celebrate. And it is a pretty significant moment where you had the Senate voting to cut more than $9 billion in spending. It happened early this morning. Turns out there were only two no votes among the Republicans. By the way, the vice president had to step in, and he had to break the tie. Susan Collins out of Maine and Lisa Murkowski out of Alaska, no surprise, they joined all of the Democrats in opposition. Now, here's the deal. This has to go back to the House. The House is going to have to approve this, the changes that the Senate made. You say, what are the changes? Well, the cuts are not as large. So you're looking at about $400 million in cuts that the Senate took away. You're going to hear a lot of screaming about this from the House Freedom Caucus. But the reality is these rescissions are very, very rare. And this is a victory, and we need to get this through. And as you heard Senator Blackburn say, this is the start of the rescission. So there will be more rescission packages coming through, but this is the first. And more importantly, it defunds NPR, it defunds PBS, and it defunds USAID. Folks, there is just so much work that has to be done, and there is so much bad that has to be made good, and it's going to take a while. It really is. And we need this, especially with what's going on with the Epstein situation, which is it's going from bad to worse, and the president is going to have to figure out a plan here, because the American people are saying they're just not happy with the way things are going. They don't like the president's response. They don't like the reaction, and they want answers. And the base is the base. You got to take care of the base. But I want to get back real quick, and we're going to reset after our break coming up. But I want to say this about what the Senate did. This is great news, because NPR is one of the most anti-American organizations out there. And the sad thing is, your local public radio stations, they're the ones that are giving them a platform to spew all of this stuff. I mean, this is NPR. They were talking at one point, they've said birds are racist, country music is racist. They did a report a while back on how Americans need to stop eating juicy, delicious cheeseburgers. They've got, they did a report saying there was no evidence that biological men have an unfair advantage over biological women in sports. Somebody get Riley Gaines on the phone. Get the entire U of Penn women's swim team on the phone. I'm sure they would love to dispute that bit of fake news. But again, we went back through, ladies and gentlemen, and the Constitution does not require the taxpayers to fund a state-run media or those insufferable British period dramas. So there you go. Well done, Senate Republicans, except for Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, they feel great, and that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio show. And so yours truly, the far left is coming after me. And these are the headlines. This is People for the American Way. Todd Stern says MAGA feels screwed over by Trump's handling of the Epstein controversy. That's just one of many headlines out there. People very upset over what I had to say yesterday on Newsmax, really about the whole situation. So I wanted you, because again, the left is suggesting that I have broken with President Trump, which I have not done. As a matter of fact, I still happen to be a massive Trump fan. But I'm not one of these people that keeps changing his opinion because he's afraid.
Oh, my God. Oh, my word. I was just critical of President Trump, and I'm afraid I won't get invited to the White House Christmas party, and I won't get a card. What do I do?
We don't take talking points from anybody. And honestly, I don't believe President Trump is well-served by a bunch of these conservatives out there. that are now saying, oh, you know what? President Trump is right. We just need to forget about the Epstein thing. Just forget all about it. You know, Trump is out there saying, well, these people, they were fools. They were all duped. Okay, Mr. President, were you duped? Because you were promoting this out on the campaign trail. What about Pam Bondi? She said the files were on her desk. Was she duped, Mr. President? But again, you've got some very popular, well-known conservative media people out there, and all of them are like,
oh, we don't know what to do. We're so afraid.
Over the weekend, you had all of these people at Charlie Kirk's big conference, right? And they're out there, and they're screaming and hollering. They're saying, Pam Bondi's got to go. Run her out of town. But then, the next day, oh, we can't talk about this anymore. We're done. We're not talking about this anymore. I was watching Fox News. What was it, yesterday? It's almost as if Fox News didn't even, they don't even know the name Jeffrey Epstein. It's almost as if it's been banished from their airwaves. So everybody's freaking out about this. And I think there are two extremes, okay? Two extremes. And then there's the rest of us who are saying, none of this makes any sense at all. Not at all. Now, I've been pretty clear, and we're going to play. We're not going to do it in this segment, but when we come back, I'm going to play my opening monologue, and you can tell me if I was off my rocker, if I was off base. But I don't think I was. So you've got these folks out there in the Trump circle, and they are grifters. They're sleazy and they're seedy. And all they're after is they want the dollar. And I'm telling you right now, Trump hasn't spent any money on my radio program, never has. And I doubt he ever will. But there are a lot of people in the Trump world that want to be around Trump because that's their paycheck. And they know that the unemployment line is coming for them very soon. Very soon. So they're out there trying to figure out how do they stay in good graces with the president. And again, I just don't believe the president is well served by people like that. I think the president needs folks within his orbit that say, you know what, Mr. President, I think this is a pretty bad idea, sir. With all due respect, Mr. President, I think there's a way to do that. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, Jerry in Gainesville. Jerry, what's your take on all of this?
Todd, I'm just ready to move on. There's too much good going on, and I think it's just time to move on from this Epstein saga.
I mean, well, Jerry, you're not wrong here. I mean, there is a lot of good going on, and I think that's one of the reasons why the president is so frustrated, because none of that's getting covered. But the reality is, if this scandal is as big as the president suggested out on the campaign trail, then we have to address this. You've got very powerful people in this country who allegedly assaulted and did horrible things to underage girls. Don't you think we need to get to the bottom of that, Jerry?
Democrats had this in their hands for 4 years. If there was sufficient evidence that Trump or anyone in his orbit was involved, they would have released everything. So that's where I stand.
Well, yeah, I've been saying that for weeks now on this program. I don't believe Trump's name is, let me put it this way. I don't believe Trump's name was originally in there. Is it possible that James Comey's daughter, who, by the way, oversaw those Epstein files, is it possible that she may have, or someone within the Justice Department may have, written in Trump's name or fabricated evidence against the president? Yeah, that is possible. And that maybe that's what they're looking at here. I just don't know. But I do know that Maureen Comey is now unemployed. She got fired last night by Pam Bondi, and I'm glad she did. I'm glad Bondi did that. But that should have been done a long time ago. What are we waiting for here? So, Jerry, appreciate the call. Folks, Jerry says we need to move on. That's what Trump says, too. We've got to move on. I'm just not sure the American people and the base of the party are willing to move on right now. All right, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. We got a letter from Tammy. She listens to us on WDUN, and I want to read some of this letter. Tammy, by the way, thank you. We love getting letters from our great listeners. Here's what Tammy wrote. Todd, I am a faithful listener of your show on WDUN. I love your show. Well, thank you, Tammy. I listen every day and would love to call in. However, I am always driving and refuse to risk being pulled over by making a call. You know, that is actually a very legitimate, that's a legitimate excuse, Tammy. I would love to weigh in on yesterday's show as it had to do with Epstein. Anyone who has done their research is aware Epstein was indeed involved with high-profile political and celebrity people near and far, which likely reaches the upper echelons of many worldwide governments. Having said that, we all know the deep state has tried everything they can to unalive Donald J. Trump. So what makes you think that the previous administration would allow any credible evidence of their involvement with Epstein left for Trump administration to pour over for a gotcha? This is a game of blackmail. If I were a deep state player, I would not allow any evidence to be left behind of my involvement with a criminal of this level. So why would they? I would, however, leave every trap I could to make them look bad and turn the tables. The deep state knew Trump and all of his likely picks for high profile positions were running on releasing truth about everything. The question is, what if the deep state destroyed everything credible and left false information? And she goes on. This is a terrific letter. And Tammy, it's a great point you're bringing up. And that is something that has to be considered. But again, they should have considered this and that scenario going into all of this. I hope that people can move on, but I don't know if they will. And that's the concerning thing, because there are folks, this is the hill to die on. As a matter of fact, what was it? Alex Jones. He goes, hey, you cut number one, please.
You talk about this, I'm going to excommunicate you. Well, you're not the Pope, bro. I mean, you're not speaking from the throne ex cathedra. And plus, I'm not Catholic. So, I think it's Catholics, it's just, give me a break. Anyone who disagrees with anything I say is banished. And I'm not saying Trump land is a cult. The Democrats are the cult of hating reason and logic and common sense. But when Trump starts behaving like that, it starts getting into cult territory. And I bet, since I talked in the first hour and said I'm not in this cult, if that's what it's turning into, I bet there's already news articles about it. But I went on to say Trump is not a cult yet, but behavior like this starts going down that road. But I guarantee if it's not out now, it'll be out in the next hour. And it'll be Jones says he's left the Trump cult. Nope, never was in the cult. Not saying it's a cult, but this is starting to become cult-like language.
All right, that's Alex Jones, and he's completely turned on Trump now. You've got Bannon, a lot of other folks out there that are very, very angry about all of this. Also, Mark Halperin just sharing some info a little while ago that a major newspaper is about to publish some sort of a big expose on President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. So going back to the letter I just read from our great listener in Gainesville, Georgia, this could very well be a big setup. It's ugly. Ugly out there. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Patty trying to call in yesterday. We were not able to get to her. So, Patty, good to have you back today. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm sticking with my man.
Yeah, there's no reason for you not to, Patty.
Because I'm true MAGA. People that are walking away, they're fake MAGA. They're never MAGA to begin with, Todd. I have been with this guy since he came down that escalator. The guy has been, how many conspiracy theories against this man? How many? They've been trying to get him forever. They tried to kill him, Todd. He took a bullet for these idiots that are now, whiny people. You want to know something? The guy almost died for you. You know what I'm saying? He don't need the job, Todd. You know him very well. You and him are good friends. This guy could have went someplace with Melania and lived a great life. Am I right?
Well, no, you're right, Patty. I hear you. But again, the messaging coming out of the White House, that's not what the president is saying. He's saying this is all a hoax. It never happened. There's no such thing as Jeffrey Epstein. This is all make-believe by the Democrats. And anybody who buys into it, anybody who believed it, you were duped, you're stupid.
Well, I don't think anybody, I believe they're, I don't know. You know, it goes way beyond. I think what happened, I think she did have something in her hand, and I think it was way over her head. I'm not kidding. I think it goes more, it goes deeper than we think, Todd. I think there's a lot of high-profile people on that.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
So I'm not really, you know, I think that she didn't know. I kind of feel bad for her because I think she wasn't expecting to find when she opened that. I think that she was like, oh, my God. But you want to know something? Why isn't anybody going after the Clintons? He went to the Clinton's daughter's wedding with Maxwell. Why is anybody bringing up Bill Gates? Bill Gates was the last guy to see him.
No, but you're not allowed to anymore because Trump said it's all a hoax. None of that ever happened.
Bill Gates.
I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. You can't. That's why I'm saying the messaging, Patty, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. And I think what should have happened is that somebody from the White House should have called Tammy from Georgia and said, hey, what do you got any advice for us? Because she's got the winning message here. She's got the winning message. Patty, I got a skedaddle, but it's good hearing from you. Let's go real quick to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee. Hi, Justin. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. So I got to say these two things first before I get to my point is, number one is I still support President Trump through this. I spent a lot of time and my own money trying to help him get locally or get elected locally where I live. Second thing is I'm a Bible believing Christian. So I do believe the Jews have a special place for Christians, especially as we talk about like end times. My biggest problem with this whole Epstein issue is the issue of national security. If somebody is operating in our country and with a blackmail organization or through Mossad, we need to know about that. This is very, very serious. But, you know, just besides the women that were taking advantage is our leaders being corrupted by another country working inside the U.S. So I take that very seriously, especially someone that fought in the Iraq war that we invaded off of intel agency or from Israel, that they were a weapon of mass destruction. So President Trump needs to take this very seriously because this is the issue that the base feels very seriously about. And we were promised transparency and all this. And that's all the American people want is to not feel duped, to know what's going on, to know there isn't like a secret deep state working against us. So, you you know, I hope President Trump will change his messaging and just be a little bit open with this about what's going on. If there is some things that have been corrupted, he needs to explain that. He just doesn't need to just bash his base and say that we're stupid or ignorant or that we've all been duped, because this is what they ran on, is the releasing the Epstein files. We just didn't make this up out of anywhere. This wasn't just some conspiracy theory. This has been played out in real life. So, well, you know, love the guy, but I just hope he changes.
No. I hear, and look, I think you speak for about 99% of the MAGA base, Justin, because we all love President Trump. My opinion of him hasn't changed one iota. And, you know, the challenge is you've got a lot of these talking heads out there, and if nothing else, it has exposed some of these conservative talk radio hosts for who they really are. And I was getting some text messages last night about that very issue. And we may even be picking up a new affiliate as a result of one particular talk show host. But Justin, it's a great point you're bringing up. I've got to leave it there, Justin. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. I've got to pivot because we've got another story that we've got to talk about. And this one, it's just insanity. So, there is a bipartisan piece of legislation that has been reintroduced, and the Republicans are right in the thick of all of this, and it is an amnesty plan for illegals. I know you're going to be shocked to hear this, but 9 Republican House lawmakers have signed on to this immigration-related bill. It's called the Dignity Act. The Dignity Act. And I'm about to tell you the names of the lawmakers that are siding with the Democrats on this. But this is absolutely insane. So you've got Veronica Escobar out of Texas. She's the Democrat. You've got Maria Salazar of Florida. She's the Republican. And they are co-sponsoring this legislation together, the Dignity Act of 2025. And Salazar says this is going to be the most impactful immigration reform in a generation. It is a flat-out amnesty bill. That's what it is. 22 pages. It's insane. I want to share with you what it will do. It will grant legal status and protections to undocumented immigrants already living in the U.S. The 60 million illegals that are already here would get to stay here under this Republican legislation. Number 2, it would reform the asylum screening process to provide an opportunity for review and access to counsel. In other words, the borders would reopen. It would also mandate accountability for ICE, which means they're going to handcuff ICE, and it would provide a pathway to citizenship for the Dreamers. It would also create new regional processing centers so illegals don't have to make the, quote, perilous journey to the U.S.-Mexico border to seek asylum. This is insane. Just absolutely insane. And here are the Republicans that are signing on to this. And you have to know, and just hear me on this, this will pass the House. The question is, will it pass the Senate? Trump will obviously veto this, but this is not good. It's not a good look for the Republicans. Mario Rafael Diaz-Balart out of Florida, Brian Fitzpatrick out of Pennsylvania, Mike Lawler out of New York, Dan Newhouse out of Washington, David Velladio out of California, Mike Kelly out of Pennsylvania, Gabe Evans out of Colorado, Marlon Stutzman in Indiana. What the heck are you thinking, Congressman Stutzman? Don Bacon of Nebraska and Young Kim of California. Those are the Republicans who are signing on to this. You think you can't? No, I wish I was making, I wish I could tell you April Fools, but we may be the fools for electing these morons. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We're going to post this information on our website so you'll have easy access to it. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stern Radio Show. All this month, we are helping our friends in the Texas Hill Country. We have so many readers and listeners in that area, Kerr County, one of the hardest hit areas, and we need your help. You know, volunteers and first responders from all over the country have been pouring into the Hill Country, and along with those rescue workers, two other people also showed up, Dolly Parton and Reba McIntyre. Those are great ladies. And they told reporters on the ground, these Texas families need us. With homes gone and families scattered, we couldn't just sit there. So these ladies, you're going to love this. They loaded up two 18-wheelers with relief supplies, food, water, and a whole lot of hope to remind Texans that they're not alone. Now, look, here's the deal. You may not have an 18-wheeler. You may not have a theme park. You may not have a TV show and a hit country music career. That's okay, because you do have power to help your fellow Americans. And that's what we are doing. ToddStearns.com. Click on our Help Texas banner. It's a big red banner. You can't miss it. And you can donate right now. A gift of $50 literally rushes an emergency relief kit right to Texas. $100 gets a kit packed with supplies for two families. Whatever you can donate, it's going to make a huge difference. It really is. It's, and you know what? People, the people that have lost everything, to know that there are folks listening to the Todd Stearns radio program right now, that you took the time to go and help them, man, that's going to mean the world. So the emergency relief kits that we're providing contain hygiene items, tarps for roofs, diapers, children's activity materials, along with very essential things to help ease this crisis in the Hill Country. And there are several ways you can donate. A lot of you have been using the phone line, and I want you to do that. 855-348-4673. That's 855-348-4673. You can also go again to ToddStearns.com and click on the Help Texas Disaster Relief banner, and it'll take you right to the website. You can donate, and I did it Monday, and it took me all of just about a minute, 60 seconds. And I would encourage you to do that. And I also want to say thank you, by the way, all of you who have already donated. It has really been remarkable. We are already over the $5,000 mark. Now, our goal is $20,000. And if you give $100 or more, I am going to send you a signed copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And that's just my way of saying thank you for all of you guys and your great generosity. So this is an exciting opportunity for us to really be the hands and feet of Christ. And many of you have said, Todd, I can't take time off work. I'm not able to physically go and volunteer. That's okay, because you're going to be able to do that from right where you are right now, without having to take a day off, without having to drive to Texas. So again, head over to ToddStearns.com. And you'll be able to make a donation later on in the program today. We've just got a lot. We have a lot going on. But I am going to take time to go through our donation list. Some of you have wanted to be anonymous, and that's great. We won't share your names. But you can also actually leave a message. And I know those are so special, and those mean a lot to the people in the Hill Country. So when you make a donation, please also be sure to leave a message there as well. All right, we've got to take a quick break, and when we come back after the top of the hour news, we're going to jump right back into it. We have some new intel coming in on the House and their decision to pass the rescissions package. We'll tell you all about that. Also, our good friends from AMAC are going to drop by, and we're going to have a great conversation as well. President Obama says, all of you men in America, you need gay friends. No, I'm not making that up. It was Barack who said it, not Big Mike. It was Barack. He said that. We'll play that audio as well when we come back. All right, hang tight, everybody. Again, our number, 901-260-5926, ToddStearns.com. Let's help our good friends in Texas, America.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us. Man, a lot is going on. President Trump will be signing some executive orders a little bit later on today. We're going to tell you all about that. That's going to happen as well, and we'll do a recap during my Newsmax show, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So I certainly hope that you will join us and watch. We have a jam-packed lineup. Senator, I believe Ted Budd is going to be joining us. Also, just a reminder, head over to ToddStarnes.com and you can join our effort to help disaster relief in Texas. Man, you guys really fired it up over the news break, and we're getting a lot more donations coming in. So head over right now, ToddStarnes.com, and you'll be able to do that. All right. We have been telling you about our friends and partners over at the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. They are so awesome, and I am proud to be a member. They are the conservative alternative to AARP. And the great thing about AMAC is you don't have to be an old fogey like me to become a member. It doesn't matter if you're 18 years old or 80 years old. AMAC is for any American who loves the country and just wants to see it protected. And on top of that, you're going to get so many great resources. You've got the Outstanding Magazine. I love that. You're going to get amazing discounts, exclusive discounts, and you're going to get helpful resources as well. Things like AMAC Newsline, and I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the editor-in-chief of AMAC Newsline, Shane Harris. Shane, good to have you with us today.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys are rock stars, and you're crushing it over there. And can I just say, I really like the discounts. Those are pretty sweet.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Our team does a great job of putting together a great lineup of discounts for our members, and we believe it's one of the best deals out there. So thanks so much for saying that.
If you can, yeah, we can get one for like Ruth's Chris, maybe, or you know, Morton Steakhouse. Just I'll throw that out there as a suggestion. So, Shane,
yeah, absolutely,
yeah, Shane, we've got a crazy story unfolding in New York, and it's pretty clear to me that the next mayor is going to be a socialist, de facto communist. And you've got Zohran Mamdani just yesterday was making some comments and making headlines about his plan to do away with private housing. Let's take a listen to this.
My platform is that every single person should have housing. And I think faced with these two options, the system has hundreds of thousands of people unhoused, right? For what? And if there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people try and play like gotcha games about these kinds of things. And it's like, look, I care more about whether somebody has a home.
So there you have it, Shane. This is not, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's an anomaly. I don't think it is an anomaly. What say you?
Yeah, so there's a couple different layers here, and I think it's important because, you know, there is a top layer, which is easy, right, which is that is this socialist and totally insane? Absolutely. But as you said, it's not an anomaly. What Zohran Mamdani is saying, not just on housing, but on a number of other issues, are actually things that Democrats have been sort of quietly talking about for a long time. He's just a lot more open about it. And I think that's why he's causing some panic within the Democrat Party. It's because he's kind of taking the mask off on what the party believes. But if you look over in Minneapolis right now, they actually have their own version of Zohran Mamdani, a guy named Omar Fateh. And he is running on essentially the same platform, promising to, you know, give everyone free housing. And that's becoming quite the issue on the left. And, you know, I think that it's easy to just dismiss it as this crazy leftist idea. But we also should ask ourselves why this is becoming such a contested issue. And there actually is a real problem, right, which is housing unaffordability, not just in cities, but outside of cities, in suburbs, in rural areas, that young people are finding it more and more difficult to afford a home. The average age of first-time home buyer recently hit an all-time high of 38 years old. Since just 2021, the cost of buying a home has gone up 60%. The average monthly cost of buying a home when you include mortgage, property insurance, and everything like that. And so I think that, you know, they're hitting at a real problem. Of course, their solution is totally insane and it's only going to make the problem worse. But I think we'd be unwise to dismiss this out of hand because they are hitting at something that is resonating with some people clearly by the fact that Mamdani did manage to win the Democrat primary there in New York City.
And he won it, you know, decisively. It wasn't some sort of, you know, a squeaker. So clearly there are a lot of people who his messaging is resonating with. And again, this goes all the way back. I mean, you're looking at millennials who many of them were told they had to go to college. If you don't go to college, you know, then you can't really live your American dream. That's what Barack Obama told them. And Shane, now you've got all these kids that are in their 30s. Some of them are still living at home. They are saddled with this debt. And to your point, you know, it's almost impossible for anybody to go out there and to buy a home.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is one thing that I've been talking about for a while over at AMAC Newsline, that, you know, this impulse towards the socialist left, it's being driven by real concerns among young people, but also people who are a little bit older, people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, who are finding it more difficult to live out their version of the American dream. And a big part of that is being able to afford a house. And as conservatives, we should say that making home ownership more attainable for more Americans should be a top priority for us. Because when you have a home, when you own property, you actually have something to conserve. You're more likely to start a family. You're more likely to understand the things that your government needs to do to allow you to protect your property and your family. And so I think that, you know, it would be wrong to just dismiss this out of hand because, you know, the consternation over housing affordability and the ability to have your own single family home, that is driving a lot of the popularity among the socialist left. Unfortunately, you know, the people who are flocking to people like Zohran Mamdani are incredibly misguided. But I think Republicans and conservatives need to have their own answer for, OK, how are we going to make the American dream of owning a home with a white picket fence and starting a family, how are we going to make that more attainable for as many people as possible?
It's a great question. And the challenge for the Republicans, they didn't create this mess, but they're in charge of it and they've got to fix it. Otherwise, you know, there will be unintended consequences come the midterms. And it could be something like this that either sends people voting for the other party or they're just going to say, you know what, we're going to stay home.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, fortunately, like there are some things that Republicans can do. And I think we're starting to come around on this, right? You've seen Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, a few other big names on the conservative side talking about this issue and underscoring how important it is. And you're starting to see some movement at the state level, right? One of the big issues that has been identified is that there are big corporate Wall Street banks who are buying up a lot of single family homes. Something like 10% of the American real estate market now for single-family homes is controlled by big banks or corporations. And so you're seeing some action at the state level in Republican states where they're saying, no, allowing that to happen is actually it's bad for our economy. It's bad for our culture. And so they're starting to step in to go after these big corporate property owners and saying you can't go in and outcompete everyday families who are looking to buy homes. So that's one positive development that we've seen in the past few months.
You know, Shane, it's interesting. And folks, again, Shane Harris, editor-in-chief at AMAC Newsline, and you can access that on amac.us, and you'll be able to find all the great stories. There is a fascinating poll that you guys have out, and the question is very simple. Can Elon Musk's third party shake up politics? And I'm curious what the mood was of the AMAC members.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, interestingly enough with that, we found that most of our members were pretty skeptical of that movement. I think they understand that a lot of times when you have these third parties crop up, they end up just kind of diluting the vote of one side or the other. You know, we saw that a lot in 1992. So 78.4%, I've got the number in front of me here, say they're not convinced. Third parties often divide the vote and hand power to the left. Reforming existing parties might be the more effective. You know, that's a pretty overwhelming majority. But another, you know, sizable minority, 8.5%, so they want to wait and see. They want to see the platform that Elon's proposing. They want to be cautious. You know, their vote's not guaranteed for any party. Another 6.6% said they're intrigued. Another 6.5% said they're unsure. So, but still, you know, you've got more than three-quarters of our members said they weren't convinced that this third party is going to go anywhere.
Wow. I'm not either. But all he needs are about four or five lawmakers. And if he can get them in the House, he'll all of a sudden overnight become a power broker, which could get really interesting in the House. Shane, this is terrific. We're going to get you back on because you guys have a lot of great news, a lot of great intel. And I know our audience is really plugged into what you guys are doing. And we really appreciate you coming on the show today.
All right. Thanks so much, Todd. Happy to come back anytime.
All right. Shane Harris, everybody, editor-in-chief at AMAC Newsline. And again, it's just one of the many, many benefits of joining AMAC. And they have a special landing page just for listeners of the Todd Stern Show. AMAC.us/Starnes. That's AMAC.us/Starnes. And when you get to the page, you're going to see all sorts of really cool stuff. By the way, 5-year membership. When I'm talking about like dollars, 5-year membership, $35. It's a one payment, $35. I mean, it's a pretty good deal. You're talking about $7 a year. You're going to be saving 56% savings right there. 56% savings. If you join today over at amac.us/Starnes. Also, I mentioned the discounts and the coupons. Dylan, this is pretty awesome. You're going to get exclusive savings on wine. For those of you who like to drink the fermented beverage, you're going to get huge discounts on many of the nation's top shooting and gun magazines. You're going to get a great $50 coupon on beef from veteran-owned farms across America. And this is pretty cool. Age well, feel well with cannabis care. I may need to look into that. It's medicinal. That's what they say. So again, go check out all the cool stuff they've got at AMAC. Over 2 million members, AMAC.us/Starnes. All right. We've got to take a break. When we come back, Barack Obama has a message for the men of America. I want to circle back to Maria Salazar, the congresswoman, Republican congresswoman from Florida. And she's now saying that we need to provide amnesty for the illegals. This is one of the quotes. Our economy needs a reliable working force in areas where other Americans don't participate. Some of the most shameful moments in our past as a country relates to how we have treated immigrants who are not criminals. Well, the congresswoman is playing with words here because we don't treat immigrants like criminals. We treat illegal immigrants like criminals. And the reason why is because they're illegal. They are breaking the law. Therefore, they are criminals, madam. But she is basically a Democrat here, and she's taking on the Democrat talking points. And she's saying that all of you Americans are basically too lazy to go out there and work in the fields and work in construction and clean toilets at the Motel 6 or the Econo Lodge. And that may be the case, but that's irrelevant. The issue at hand is very simple. Do we have a secure border now? Yes, we do. So what are we going to do with all the people who invaded our country? 60 million people, by the way. Don't believe the 10, 11, 12 million. No. It's north of 60 million. And we know that just based on the traffic patterns in Los Angeles, where people now are able to get out there and drive without getting stuck in traffic, allegedly. So anyway, Salazar, she she wants to do the following, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. She says that what we need to do is let the illegals who have been in the United States since before 2021 have the opportunity to apply for up to 7 years of legal status with work authorization. She says the immigrants would pay restitution and check in regularly with the Department of Homeland Security. This is laughable. And their legal status could be renewed based on good conduct and restitution. I mean, this is nothing more than a fancy way of saying amnesty. She also said that they want to invest in border security and modernizing land ports of entry, mandate accountability for ICE, provide a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers. And I want to read through the names again here so you can reach out to these lawmakers. Mario Rafael Diaz-Balart from Florida, Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, Mike Lawler from New York, Dan Newhouse from Washington, David Velladio from California, Mike Kelly, Pennsylvania, Gabe Evans, Colorado, Marlon Stutzman, Indiana, Don Bacon, Nebraska, and Young Kim of California. Yeah, sounds like amnesty to me, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so Barack Obama is back at it again. He sat down with the Mr. Mrs. on her podcast the other day and made an interesting observation about men, and he said that men, presumably straight men, need gay men as friends. Take a listen.
I had a gay professor in college at a time when openly gay folks still weren't out of line, who became one of my favorite professors. You need that to show empathy and kindness. And by the way, you need that person in your friend group so that if you then have a boy who's gay or non-binary or what have you, they have somebody that they can go, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Right?
What is he talking about? What, sir, is he trying to tell us something here? Is he the gay friend? I'm confused. I don't know what Obama is trying to tell us here. But we can tell you that apparently he and the missus are still together. That's the reporting. So Obama was a guest on Michelle's podcast. And Barack said, she took me back. They were joking about it. I think they were joking. The podcast is called In My Opinion with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson. Obama says, she took me back. It was touch and go for a while. Ha ha. Really? Is that? I don't know. Michelle said, folks think we're divorced. Well, yeah, because of the way you've been talking about your husband, lady. I mean, that's kind of rude. Probably want to keep some of that stuff to yourself. Anyway, Obama says, guys, go out and find a gay friend. How do you do that? What do? You just go out and ask people? I mean, do you have credentials? A carding system? What does that look like? 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, hey, head over. Donate to Texas. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I've got to play some audio. This was, I want to make sure we're crediting the right folks here. Town Hall got the exclusive here, and it was shared by a Congressman Andy Ogles out of the Nashville area. Belmont is a former Baptist school that turned Christian and then turned ish, and sort of like what's happening at Baylor. But anyway, there are leaked recordings that show school officials are trying to bamboozle the Trump administration by just renaming their DEI program. So they say they're getting rid of their DEI programs, but in reality, they're just renaming it. Take a listen to this.
We're always going to keep doing what we're doing. The work never stops. We just change on how we talk about it.
obviously you can tell I'm very passionate about stuff like this. We always try to just adapt to what's happening around us, but that doesn't mean like what we're focusing on completely stops. We definitely have to navigate very carefully and just cautiously, just because we just don't ever know, especially with like the ICE raids that are happening in the city. That impacts our campus. We do have undocumented students here. We don't communicate to anybody externally who's undocumented, who is. And so, like, yes, we know who it is. Faculty don't really know. How could they? Unless it's indicated in the system somewhere. We have a office just dedicated for, like, international students. We try to create as a inclusive space as possible here at Belmont. No, we're not going to be out in the news doing all these things. This is how we stand, or this is what we stand by. No, we're not going to make any outward statements. However, the work, the initiatives, things that are happening on campus, that's how we show how inclusive we're being. Even with us being a private school, like we do get some heat on it. The hub will be your point of contact to really just understand how the landscape looks at Belmont, but also how can you be involved in those things without, like, the feds running in here. We're doing the work, we just may not be as loud as other people are about it. It is the way. Because if you're navigating in the shadows, like, nobody's paying attention to Belmont.
I hate to break it to them, but we're paying attention. We're paying attention. So is Congressman Andy Ogles, and he is now calling for an investigation by the Department of Education into Belmont. Here to talk about that is our good friend, Republican strategist Luke Symbol. Luke, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's great to be here. And I'll tell you, Belmont has really turned into a far-left woke institution. The current chair of the Tennessee Young Republican, Stevie Gierno, he went to Belmont and was chair of the a student association or president of the student association there and had his own run-ins. In fact, it was so bad at Belmont that his mom wrote a book about the leftists on campus attacking her conservative son, Stevie, who's now chair of the Young Republicans in Tennessee. They are now dubbing their diversity, equity, and inclusion office as the Hope, Unity, and Belonging. It's the same staff, same goals. They just renamed it to get rid of the DEI name. And another thing that Belmont needs to consider is Tennessee passed several laws this past session that made it illegal to harbor criminal illegal aliens. It is illegal to harbor criminals generally. You're not allowed to harbor in your home or on your campus murderers. You cannot harbor robbers, right? The police can go in and arrest those people. You're not allowed to shield them from the police. Well, people who are in this country illegally cannot be shielded from ICE. And so Belmont, by doing this, Belmont is breaking state law now. It is breaking federal law. And I suggest that Tom Homan do a raid of Belmont's campus and go into every single dorm room and see just how many illegal aliens Belmont is harboring.
You know, this is interesting because one of the TV stations, WKRN, actually did a pretty fair piece. They reached out to Belmont. Belmont's not talking. You know, they are shutting it down. They're not talking. There is a state representative, Barrett is his name, Jody Barrett, mm-hmm. from the Dixon, Tennessee area. And he says, to your point, that you've got Belmont officials now admitting that some of their students are illegals.
Yep.
This is against the law.
It is against the law. And Jody Barrett was one of those legislators that introduced the legislation in the state of Tennessee that said public officials are not allowed to harbor illegal aliens. You cannot stand in the way of ICE and say, no, you're not arresting illegal aliens. He has been really great on this immigration issue. He's actually running for Congress, coincidentally, as well. But the Tennessee legislature is done with this illegal immigration problem. They are telling folks in Tennessee, you cannot harbor illegal aliens. In fact, it is considered human smuggling in many instances when you are harboring these illegal aliens. And I think state officials, you know, I'm disappointed the governor hasn't addressed it yet. Belmont is right in his hometown. He lives about 30, 45 minutes away in Williamson County. We have got to address this problem, and we need the state government to get involved. We need the federal government to get involved. The Department of Education, Tom Homan with ICE, the Department of Homeland Security. It is completely unacceptable, and Belmont needs to answer some questions.
Yeah, they do. And again, I hear they're a private school, and people would say, well, you know, all right, they're a private school. They should be able to do what they want to do. That's all well and good. But if you're taking federal tax money, we got a say in that.
That's exactly right. We get a little bit of control. And again, nobody, private citizens are not allowed to harbor murderers in their home. If my brother were to murder somebody, I could not harbor him in my home and say, no, please, you're not allowed to come in. You cannot arrest him. That's just not allowed. These illegal aliens, it's the same situation. Belmont is not allowed to hide them, not allowed to harbor them. And frankly, why is Belmont allowing these illegal aliens to go to school in the first place? Why not prioritize Tennesseans who are here? Why not prioritize Americans who are here? We can't forget that every time a seat is taken by an illegal alien, that's one that an American student can't take. And I, you know, what kind of aid are these illegal alien students getting that really should be reserved for American students? What type of social programs are being afforded to them while being on Belmont campuses? Are they getting free meals? Are they getting reduced tuition? Why don't they prioritize Tennesseans?
It's a fair question, and I just looked up the tuition. So here's what it costs per year to go to Belmont, $66,000. $66,460.
That is just
Where are the illegals? I don't know what that is in pesos, but that's a lot of money.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, thank you, Town Hall, for shining a light on this. And I hope that that Belmont is hauled in front of committee hearings in Washington. They are, like you said, they are receiving federal dollars. The feds need to be asking, why are federal dollars going towards illegal alien students instead of American students? Tennessee, I'm sure, has given grants and money to Belmont. The same thing needs to happen in the state legislature. Americans are sick and tired of this. They are tired of promoting foreigners over American citizens. It is time that we refocus the attention, and Belmont needs to answer.
Oh my God, this headline on Town Hall is insane. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to the writer Matt Vespa, doing a great job over there at Town Hall. And here's the headline: Belmont University is hiding illegal aliens on campus.
I mean, they admit it in the video. That's what he's saying. They have them on campus. You know, again, they've changed DEI to Hub, Hope, Unity, and Belonging, but it's all the same staff. It's ridiculous. And let's have Belmont be an example. Like you said, they used to be a Baptist school, then they became quote unquote a Christian school, and they've just abandoned any sort of principle. And you know, Christians, don't pay tuition, don't send your children to Belmont. It's just let's blacklist them. It's ridiculous.
It's really shocking. Again, this is supposedly a Christian school, and they're out there and knowingly disobeying federal law. I'm curious to hear from our listeners. Guys, do you like this idea of maybe having the Border Czar, Tom Homan, stage a full-on raid of Belmont University to hunt down the illegals that are hiding on campus?
I love it. You know, my brother actually went to Belmont. He graduated several years ago, and I'm curious about whether or not these illegal alien students are getting benefits that he was not afforded. You know, we did not come from a home with much wealth. He had to work really hard in school, worked multiple part-time jobs to help pay that tuition. I wonder, is that really fair for an American student who is struggling to get through school, paying his way? Are illegal aliens getting benefits that are not afforded to American citizens? Are our tax dollars, right, from the feds, from the state of Tennessee, are they going to benefit illegal aliens over American citizens and Tennessee residents? That's just unfair.
It's not right. And that's happening all over the country.
Yep.
It's not just Belmont. But this is appalling because you've got a lot of families out there. And just think about this. In the state of Tennessee, for example, Belmont's getting money. They're getting Tennessee dollars, and yet you're out there and maybe you're doing a trade school route. You're not even going to college. You know, you're in the workforce. You're still paying for all of this nonsense, and you're paying for illegals to be educated at this very high dollar. I mean, that's a pretty wealthy, exclusive school right there.
And it's salt in the wound of our community's already vulnerable citizens, right? Illegal immigration increases housing costs, And who does that affect? It affects the poorest Americans first. It decreases wages. Now our most vulnerable citizens are having to compete for jobs and for lower wages because we have an influx of illegal aliens working in these jobs. And now it's education. Our tax dollars are going to benefit illegal aliens over American citizens first. And these institutions, particularly like you mentioned, when they are receiving federal tax dollars, they need to get on the American first agenda. We are allowed to wield power. Now the Trump administration and the Department of Education should wield its power very similarly to how the Biden administration did, right? Prioritizing terrible DEI policies the Biden administration did. Let's refocus. Let's turn it on its head and start wielding our power over these institutions.
Can you hang around for a second?
I'd love to.
All right. We've got Luke Symbol in studio, our Republican strategist. We'll be taking your calls as well. Should the Border Czar Tom Homan stage a raid on Belmont University? We now know harboring illegal aliens. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, folks, in the break, head on over and be sure to make a donation right now to our Texas Disaster Relief Fund. You guys are doing a great job today, and we are getting a lot of people donating that money. $100 gift or more, you're going to get a free signed copy of my new book, Star Spangled Blessings. Again, head over now. We'll be announcing a lot of our new donors coming up in the next hour. You can access all of this at toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. And if you want to call, we've got all that information there as well. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, look, Luke Symbol here with us in studio. So you've been following the whole Epstein thing, and it just seems to me that at the end of the day, it's very simple, Luke. They got a problem at the Justice Department.
I agree. And at this point, you know, Pam Bondi made all of these proclamations about the thousands of hours of videotape and thousands of documents and the thousands of victims. And, you know, the FBI is not able to back that up. They're certainly not backing it up at this point. And, you know, Pam Bondi made these proclamations about the Epstein case, said what she was going to do, hasn't done it. And the only way now it's just reached a fever pitch. And what I really think the White House needs to do is hold a press conference. Pam Bondi needs to be thrown out in the spotlight and asked questions, and she can answer them. Look, there may not be a there. Maybe there really isn't. But let's get to the bottom of it. Let's ask the tough questions. She can sink or swim, and I hope she swims. I hope she clarifies her remarks. I hope that they are able to get some organization around it. But it's time to hold a press conference. And the American people just want answers. We were promised transparency. So let's give the American people transparency. And look, I'm sure that Donald Trump is probably in the so-called black book. It was a contact book. I have contacts on my phone. This was a black book with contacts. I'm sure he was in there, but that doesn't mean he did anything wrong at all. Alan Dershowitz has been saying for years, there are a lot of people on this list that really had nothing to do with the terrible, terrible things surrounding Epstein. And I'm just wondering, maybe that's why. Is Trump pressuring? I don't know, but let's get Pam Bondi out there to start answering these tough questions. And it's sunlight is the best disinfectant. She can swim or sink, and we'll figure it out. But it's time for a press conference.
Yeah, no, I think it's past time for a press conference. Right. And I think Bongino and Kash Patel ought to be there as well. Yeah. And just no holds barred, you know, till the last question is asked. You've got to stay there, and you've got to deal with this, because at the end of the day, all three of them have embarrassed the president on this. And Bongino, you can't go out there. I don't care how bad it is. You can't go out there and give an ultimatum like that. You just can't do that.
I totally agree. And look, Trump has held these types of press conferences with his administration officials before. Sure. We've all seen those videos in the Oval Office where the cameras are all around and he says, hey, what do you think? What do you think, J.D. Vance? What do you think, Marco Rubio? Do the same. I don't even think Trump needs to be there. Just put Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, and Cash Patel out there and let them answer some questions.
But I get why Bongino's upset, because he's being hurt here, right? He has a career, you know, this is a short-term gig for him, and he wants to be able to go back to that gig. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it if Pam Bondi keeps going down this path. That's why Bongino is upset. And so, I mean, it's justified, but what you have to do is resign. You have a clean break, and then you can tell your story.
You could say whatever you want, right?
Yeah, right. Look, well, that's right.
And I'm fine with administration officials arguing back and forth. I'm even fine with the American people seeing those disagreements in a press conference. If they want to argue, that is perfectly fine. If they want to disagree, great. But let's just be transparent about it. Let's have that press conference. Pam Bondi made so many promises about this Epstein case. Thousands and thousands of victims. Well, okay, there are thousands and thousands of victims, but we haven't learned about it. Like, if it's true that maybe it was just the gross things that Epstein was looking at on his computer and they're counting those as victims, that's fine. But tell us.
Well said. She's no Janet Reno, Pam Bondi. So.
Well, she looks a little better, too.
No comment on that. That's Luke Symbol who said that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Luke, we always appreciate it. I'm sorry I was distracted. I got an invitation to go and speak at an event, and I thought it said Save America, but it's Save Armenia. So I may not be able to make that trip.
You're already saving the media. Yeah,
no, Save Armenia,
Armenia.
The nation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not on the top.
I'm sure I want to go to
10.
Azerbaijan or Armenia, but we shall see if Delta flies there. So.
Well, Delta canceled all my flights last week, so I don't know if you want to fly Delta.
Oh, geez, Lou, that's never good.
I was stranded.
By the way, on that note, congratulations to Memphis International Airport, named one of the top five family-friendly airports in America.
It's like our only well-run institution in Memphis right now, and that's because it's not run by Democrats.
That's true. That's a fair point. All right, Luke, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming. We have a lot of ground to cover. And don't forget, in the break, head over to ToddStarnes.com. and make a donation. We told you about Dolly Parton, Reba McEntire bringing the 18-wheelers over to the Hill Country. Yeah, we can't do that, but what we can do is donate. And you guys have been doing a terrific job of that. We're going to be sharing names with you coming up after the break. So head over to ToddStarnes.com right now and click on that red Help Texas banner. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have a lot of stuff to get through today. But right now, we do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
All right, just moments ago, Caroline Leavitt at the White House announcing that President Trump going through something right now, going through a little bit of a medical issue. The president has been diagnosed with something called chronic venous insufficiency. Let's listen to White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt just mere moments ago.
On another note, I know that many in the media have been speculating about bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed, and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70. Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease. Laboratory testing included a complete blood count, comprehensive metabolic panel, coagulation profile, D-dimer, B-type natriuretic peptide, and cardiac biomarkers. All results were within normal limits. An echocardiogram was also performed and confirmed normal cardiac structure and function. No signs of heart failure, renal impairment, or systemic illness were identified. Additionally, recent photos of the president have shown minor bruising on the back of his hand. This is consistent with minor soft tissue irritation from frequent handshaking and the use of aspirin, which is taken as part of a standard cardiovascular prevention regimen. This is a well-known and benign side effect of aspirin therapy. And the president remains in excellent health, which I think all of you witness on a daily basis here. So the president wanted me to share that note with all of you. I'm happy to take further questions on it. We will provide the memorandum from the president's physician to all of you, as we always do.
All right. That's Caroline Leavitt from the White House. So the good news is, and those of you of a certain age, and I'm beginning to hear from some of you, that this is a pretty normal thing that happens. This is something that has been diagnosed. They're treating it. May I just say here about all of this, and by the way, it can be a little painful. So maybe the president, honestly, has had a lot on his mind, which could explain why he snapped the way he did on True Social just the other day on all of the MAGA fans. But the president's got a lot on his mind. He's a very active person. He loves to get out there and play golf. And I can understand where this would be incredibly frustrating, because it becomes especially painful when you get up and you walk around. But the good news here is that the president's going to be okay. His heart looks great, but that is a concern, by the way. Heart failure, one of the symptoms, also blood clots. But look, they're taking care of all of this. And by the way, the bruising, and I think I can speak on this matter with some great expertise. I have a mechanical heart valve, an aortic heart valve. I had a transplant over 20 years ago, and I have to take a daily regimen of blood thinners. And right now, a lot of people say, why do you always wear long sleeve shirts? Well, the reason why is I typically bump into something. And when I do, if you looked at my arm right now, you would actually see bruises because I'm on blood thinners. It happens. That's why, Dylan, one of the sad parts of my life, and you know, I know the family knows this, is my career as I wanted to play professional dodgeball, but unfortunately, if I just get smacked with a ball, I'll bleed out.
You would not be white anymore.
No,
either.
I can't.
Be bruised, like, man.
Well, Todd started the match as a white man, but he looks kind of purplish right now. So all that to say, that's why and people have been making a lot of hay. People are asking, oh, is the president wearing makeup on his hands? No, he's not. No. So clearly there was something wrong. But can I just say, how refreshing. This is what transparency looks like, right? The president, clearly people were asking questions. And so the White House comes out and says, okay, here's what we can tell you, and here's what's going on. And I really appreciate the White House doing that. And certainly we'll be praying for the president. The good news here is my understanding is a lot of people in their 70s are dealing with this kind of thing. So we'll be praying for the president's speedy recovery. And let's hope there are no side effects. Speaking of that, you know, I had to do one of those Christian TV networks years ago. Speaking of hands and makeup. And so anyway, it takes the lovely Kristen, who comes in every day and she puts my face on for Newsmax. It takes maybe, I don't know, 5-10 minutes max. So I went to one of these Christian networks, and I'm not going to name the network, but you're going to know which one it is. And the makeup, they always pack on the makeup on everybody who's on this show. I was in the makeup chair for 35 minutes, and I looked like an orange, like an honest-to-goodness orange. And so then, I mean, it's like 35 minutes, I'm dying. And so after all the makeup, then they put the spray stuff on. It was like I look like some sort of a Muppet. So then they asked me to roll up my sleeves, and so I roll up my sleeves, and they said, hold out your hands, and they did the same thing to my hands. I had these orange hands. It was insane. What was I doing? That was a crazy show. Oh, yeah, so this is what's really funny about that show. They apparently, this network had a lot of Obama fans in their audience, even though it's a conservative-ish. And so anyway, I had written a book about Obama. Dispatches from Bitter America. That was my second book. And they flew me all the way out to California, had a limousine pick me up. I mean, it was highfalutin. Limousine picked me up and took me in, did the interview. They sat me down just moments before. It was like an entire, like, 30-minute show. And I was supposed to be there to talk about the book. And one of the producers came over and said, here's the deal. You can't mention Barack Obama's name on our channel. You can't do that because it might offend some of our donors. And I'm like, wait, what? I said, that's what my book is about. Yeah, we know, great book, but yeah, you can't mention anything about Obama. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? So I end up, we're doing the interview, and so the interviewer said, so what's your book about? And I said, well, there was this guy, and he ran for president, and I'll be darned if this fella didn't win the election. And he became the president. I'm like, ah. It was the most painful thing. This is just terrible. Anyway, what were we talking about? Makeup, the president's hands. So anyway, now you know the rest of the story there. All right. We got to take a quick break here and pay some bills. We're going to get to your phone calls as well. And by the way, if you've got what the president has just been diagnosed with, give us a holler. I'm curious. I have questions. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Of course, we're going to be talking about this on Newsmax tonight and 5 o'clock Eastern. Newsmax, of course, going public on the New York Stock Exchange. And I am telling you, millions of people are joining our news revolution. We are now the fourth highest rated news channel just behind CNN. Reuters calling Newsmax one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for their incredible programming. Download our free Newsmax app. It is free on your smartphone. You can start watching right now. President Trump, he's a viewer. Get the free Newsmax app. You can also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that, you just have to go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. 2 points I want to make about the Epstein stuff. And I don't know if it's new, but I just to clarify again, I think what would satisfy a lot of people is just put out a timeline. We don't need names. We don't need anything. Put out a timeline of these Epstein investigations going all the way back to 2008, the first time he was convicted. I mean, how many people were interviewed? How many people? Try to make the people understand the information they have now. Nobody can logically comprehend how that many victims could only have 2 people that were need prosecuted. We need a better explanation of why there were no more prosecutions than 2 people.
Yeah, look, that is a fair question, and you're right. All we're looking for are answers. That's all.
Second point is for President Trump. If he's disappointed because, I'm going to speak for myself here, if he's disappointed because I keep asking questions when I think I'm getting smoke blown up my rear end, then he should have stayed a Democrat, because the only people, most of the MAGA people I know don't work that way. He's going to have to get him some Democrat voters for his base if he wants everybody to just sit down and shut up and never ask a question.
Well, that is what they're wanting, no doubt about that, Steve. I think it's a bad move. And again, when you throw in the fact that the president's been dealing with this you know, medical issue, I can understand he's got a lot on his mind, and maybe he said things, he wrote things that he probably shouldn't have, but we still got to get to the bottom of it, and what the, you know, the answers they're giving us are just not adequate.
No, because they're not giving any answers. That's what's not an answer. They're not giving any answers. You got to give something more than just sit down and shut up.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, Steve, thank you for the call. And it's a valid point. You have an absolute valid point. 901-260-5926. You know, we've been telling you about these incredible volunteers and first responders from all over America. Franklin Graham, who, by the way, celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday, Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, they have just hundreds of volunteers, boots on the ground in the Texas Hill Country right now, and just helping people rebuild, finding things that, you know, that they might be able to salvage from the floodwaters. You know, I was watching a report last night, and they found a letter that a little girl had written to her parents the morning of the floods, and they were able to salvage that. It was not damaged in the floods, and sadly, the little girl passed. She died in the floods, but these parents now have this precious memento of their daughter. That's the work that many of these volunteers are doing out there. It is so incredibly important. And, you know, Reba, we mentioned in the first hour, Reba McEntire and Dolly Parton, they have loaded up two 18-wheelers with relief supplies, food, water, and all sorts of things. And they are boots on the ground there in the Hill Country. Now, many of you cannot load up an 18-wheeler. That's okay, which is why we are launching our disaster, or we have launched our disaster relief effort. And you can make a donation right now by phone if you would like, 855-348-4673. That's 855-348-4673. You can also text Todd to 51555 to get a link to make a gift. And I failed to mention this earlier. These are all tax-deductible gifts. I know, hear me on this, I know you guys aren't doing this for the tax write-off. I completely get that. But it is nice to know that you can, you know, as a result of making this donation, you're going to be able to get a tax-deductible gift. So I think that's pretty awesome. And, of course, you can also go to toddstearns.com and click on the Help Texas Disaster Relief button. So far, over $6,000. We're hoping to reach $7,000 today. Our ultimate goal, $20,000, and I think we're going to get there. I really do. I want to go through and just share some of these kind-hearted donations. And anybody who donates $100 or more, you're going to receive a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings, my brand new book I wrote with my friend Michelle Cox. So let's start in Charlotte, North Carolina. Margot and George giving us a $100 gift. Thank you. Mildred in the town of Hastings. I don't know where Hastings is, but Mildred, $200. Thank you so much for that, Mildred. Very kind. Look at Linda in Hillsboro, and Linda giving us a one-time donation of $50. Danielle in Chicago, the Windy City. Danielle, holy cow, $500, Danielle. You are going to be providing emergency relief kits for 10 families. Thank you so much for your generosity. Wow. Susie in Ogden, Utah, $50. Susie, thank you so much. Ben in Hendersonville, that would be North Carolina, $100. Ben, God bless you. Good-hearted people there in Hendersonville. Charlotte in Pulaski, that's $100. Is that Pulaski, Tennessee? I don't know. Alan in Dallas, that's a $100 donation. Thank you for that. Elizabeth making a one-time donation of $100. Oh, I got to give a shout-out yesterday. Our good buddy David Weimer from Weimer's Jewelry in Bartlett, Tennessee. David is a ferocious fan of KWAM, and David gave us a $100 donation. Thank you, David Weimer. We certainly appreciate that. All right, Sherry in San Antonio, $50. Sherry, God bless you. Great people down in San Antonio. Diane in Silver Spring, Maryland, giving us a one-time gift of $100. And Diane, you and Betty in Boston are going to be getting a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings. Thanks for your donations. And Susan in Cleveland, Ohio, $200. I'm telling you, folks, we're getting through the list here. Larry in Pink Hill. Larry, I don't know where Pink Hill is. I'm sure it's a very lovely hill. $100. Thank you, Larry. And again, just some of the good-hearted people that have been making donations. So we certainly appreciate all of you guys doing that. And we really do hope to wrap this up very soon. $20,000, I think we're going to be able to make that happen. What about you? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to tell you about this Louisiana pastor. This is an insane story. This is in Baton Rouge, of all places. Stephen Dale Baptist Church, Luke Ash is the pastor. He has a part-time gig. He works over at the library. He's a technician at the public library, paid for by our tax dollars. Well, it turns out that he was not on the job, but just for a few months when he got fired, he referred to a female coworker as a she, but it turns out she identifies as a he, even though she is a she. So the pastor got reprimanded by the library supervisor, and the next day he was fired. This is unbelievable. We were talking to the Bath and Body Works lady got fired for that. You got to either pledge allegiance to the rainbow flag or head to the unemployment line. Mm-mm-mm. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Come on, everybody. We'll be right back, America. We're in. Oh, yes, here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, look, can we talk about the drive-by media for just a moment? Rush used to love hating on these guys, and they deserve it. They deserve all of it. And, look, here's the deal. The drive-bys, they love to make every story about themselves, right? And you walk through any newsroom in the country, and you're going to find a pandemic of narcissism. And for example, and by the way, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So you've seen the hurricanes where they fly in the news anchors and they put them there in the middle of the street and they're strapped to a telephone pole and they're, you know, the wind is roaring and the rain is coming sideways and they're like, I'm standing in this hurricane and nobody cares. What's wrong with you? Dude, seriously? Or whenever there's, you know, a fire, they go out there and they put on their little firefighter outfit. And, oh, what was it? David Muir the other day. He was down covering the floods. Megyn Kelly took him to task. David Muir is ABC evening news guy, whatever they call their nightly news program. So anyway, David Muir is out there. And whenever he goes out on location, he ditches the suit and the tie. And what's that store that all the young people go to? Is it Lululemon? Is that how you correctly pronounce it, Dylan? I've never shopped
there. Yeah, that's right.
Lululemon. So I think the guy was wearing either an H&M shirt or a Lululemon shirt that was about three sizes too small. So you could see a little bit of nippage, if you will. Which is it's a bad look for a guy. It's like, dude, put on a shirt that fits. You can afford it. What's wrong with you? You're not a sex symbol. You're in the middle of a freaking flood, a disaster zone, sir. Nobody cares. That, unbelievable. So, again, narcissism. So, anyway, we've got to talk about CBS News correspondent Scott McFarlane. This guy brings victimhood to an entirely new level. So McFarlane is out there saying that he got PTSD from covering the attempted assassination of President Trump. He was there, boots on the ground in Butler County, Pennsylvania, and he's describing all of this. And he's doing an interview with Chuck Todd and his podcast, and he's describing how he got PTSD. But McFarland says he didn't get PTSD when he saw Trump get shot in the head. No. He got PTSD because the crowd was angry at him, and he suffered mental anguish as a result of that. Take a listen.
For those of us there, it was such a horror because you saw an emerging America. And it wasn't the shooting, Chuck. This was, I got diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours. I got put on trauma leave, not because I think of the shooting, but because you saw it in the eyes, the reaction of the people. They were coming for us. If he didn't jump up with his fist, they were going to come kill
us. I know.
What is he? I know. They were going to kill us. They were going to tear us limb from limb. I know. Again, I'm telling you, this is narcissism. The guy had to go on trauma leave. Did you hear that? He had to go on trauma leave. He had PTSD. This pinhead had to go out there and see a therapist because a Trump fan gave the guy the stink eye. What sort of... You can't make this up. It's unbelievable. What's going on over there at CBS News? Edward R. Murrow anchored the news from London during World War II when Nazis were literally dropping bombs on the city. Walter Cronkite, he covered the invasion of Normandy. The Nazis were literally shooting bullets at him. You think any of those guys went to therapy? You think those guys took trauma leave? Of course not. So understand what CBS News is saying here. Donald Trump took a bullet to the head, but it's Scott McFarland that we're supposed to have sympathy for because he got his feelings hurt. They said mean things about me. I had to go to therapy. They were very unkind. Well, this is what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. And this is why people just deeply loathe the mainstream media. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. No, Dylan, I don't think McFarland does listen to this show, but if he does, he's probably going to have to call his therapist. All right, let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jack in Georgia. Hi, Jack, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I was wanting to comment on the Epstein list and the Truth Social post from yesterday morning. I personally view the Democrat Party as Marxist. So when the president puts out a Truth Social post that by asking for transparency and a follow-up to what himself, Bongino, Bondi, Patel, Don Jr. have talked about for 4 years in the last 7 months of transparency and clarity in these Epstein files, and now that we're just following up, looking for that transparency, now we are collaborators with Marxists and that our votes are no longer needed. And that's his post at 9:43 yesterday morning. So my opinion and the consensus of people at church last night afterwards, and a lot of people in our area, they are very turned off by this. They are very disappointed on how this is being handled. And a lot of people he's losing support very quickly in our area of Northeast Georgia. This is not what we voted for. I did call Representative Massey's office yesterday. I did call Marjorie Taylor Greene's office yesterday. And I asked about the bill that they put forward and thanked them for doing that. And I called my local representative, Andrew Clyde. They had no opinion. They didn't have an opinion or any comment at that time. But I think the way it's being handled is very poorly. And I agree with the gentleman that called from Arkansas. We're not Democrats. We don't just go with the party line narrative. And we expect transparency. We still don't know about the New Jersey drones, the JFK files, the RFK files. There's not been much transparency at all. And by simply asking for that, we are now collaborators with Democrats.
Hey, Jack, it's not only that, but we still don't know who planted the pipe bombs out in front of the RNC and DNC headquarters. We know nothing about the gunman who tried to kill Donald Trump, you know, in Butler County. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. And that's why I've been really hitting on this issue that we've got big problems in the DOJ right now. There's a big problem. And I think one of the things has to do with the fact that Pam Bondi is the spokes spokesbabe, but she is for the, and she shouldn't be. She's the attorney general. She should have a comms team that is out there doing all of this, not her.
And simply because we're asking for accountability, there is no accountability. Nobody has been arrested. There are no grand jury indictments coming down the line for anything that's happened in the last 4 years. All these things that we were promised in these investigations, they're not happening. There's no evidence that any of that's happening. By simply just asking questions, we are now co-conspirators with Marxists. And that's not going over good, I don't believe, with his most loyal supporters. Most of us have voted for him 3 times, 16, 20, and 24. And this is not, the last 7 months is not going the way we thought it would.
No, it's not, Jack. And you know what? You're right. I am still a huge Trump fan. I'm on the Trump train. I'm not going anywhere. But from my vantage point here, people need to know that I get it. And I am just as aggravated as you are. And I'm not going to be one of these talk radio hosts. There are some hosts that have been told by the White House, you will stop talking about this. And they have. And I just don't operate that way. You know, and if that means I don't get invited to a Christmas party or a state dinner, I'm okay with that. At the end of the day, I'm good with that. I can just go down to the Piccadilly.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good day, sir.
All right, Jack, appreciate the call. And Jack is making a lot of sense, ladies and gentlemen. And I think, again, the point of this is so that the administration and that lawmakers can hear the frustration. This is not just Steve Bannon or Alex Jones out there. These are regular old folks who go out there. They voted, they support the president, and they got concerns. I hear you. Dylan, we got to talk about what happened at the ESPYs last night. Did you watch it? Did you watch the ESPYs?
I didn't watch the ESPYs, but I did watch Shane Gillis's monologue.
Wow. So you went to go see Shane Gillis in Birmingham.
Yes.
How is he in person?
He's very funny. And I think, you know, with some of these shows that he books just going on tour a little bit, he kind of like reuses jokes and also tries out new things. He's very controversial because of the way that he kind of looks and acts, but very funny to me.
So people are really upset. The libs are very upset.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. And what was even more remarkable is that was a very unfriendly crowd to him.
Yes.
And I think it was one of two things. Either the people in that crowd did not have a sense of humor or they were scared blankless to laugh.
I think the second one is probably more accurate.
I do too. So, here is Shane Gillis pointing out, he tricked the crowd, and we have to explain this beforehand so you'll get it. So he tricked the crowd into thinking his friend's wife was a WNBA star. The friend's wife is black. Okay, and so here's how that went down. Cut 8.
4-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap for that.
It's true.
I'm just, so throughout this monologue, he like is surprised when people applaud. Because he knows who he's speaking to and who he's joking with. So it's just funny that he can make that joke and some people actually find it funny.
You saw the video, right?
Yes.
Did that look like KJP?
Yeah.
I thought it was Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Yeah, it looks exactly like her.
I'm KJP.
4-time NBA, WNBA.
But people are really offended because he went after the WNBA and it was so funny because he's right. Nobody knows who these people are.
Yeah.
So the Caitlin Clark joke, though. I about fell out because that was pretty darn funny. Cut number 9.
When Caitlin Clark retires from the WNBA, she's going to work at a Waffle House so she can continue doing what she loves most, fist fighting black women.
People were very scared. And you could tell they were panning the audience and people wanted to smile and they wanted to laugh and they had to hold it in.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew that camera. It was. So anyway, people are upset about this. I don't know why. I mean, the guy's a comedian. His job is to crack jokes. And these were some funny jokes last night.
They weren't even that bad, too. if you go back and listen to them. I mean, to me, they were very funny. I think the only people that would get offended is the liberal, and all of them, you know, they're just scared to do it because they don't want to get in trouble with other people. So
he also told some Trump jokes, which I just thought the whole thing was funny. Fox News headline, Shane Gillis stirs controversy with Trump Bill Belichick jokes during edgy ESPY awards. What? Okay. Yes, it's supposed to be. He's a comedian, for crying out loud.
And he has a great Trump impression.
Boy, he sure does.
He did it in Birmingham. You could not tell the difference.
Did he do the one where he comes al-Baghdadi?
Yeah. He redid that joke, which is always going to be funny.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got to play the al-Baghdadi joke. All right, got to leave it there, folks. Hang tight. 901-260-5926. Don't forget, head over to the website, toddstarnes.com. Make a donation today. We want to hit $7,000 today, and we are getting close. We just need you to go and contribute. We'll be right back.
Trump gave what I think was probably one of the greatest speeches of world leaders given. You know, it's got to be up there with like Churchill, Gettysburg Address. It's the night the United States killed the leader of ISIS. Trump comes out of the Situation Room at like midnight in the White House, and he walks down that tunnel like he's and gives a press conference, like he's giving a post-game NBA, and just goes, Abu Bakar al-Baghdadi is dead. He died like a dog. I didn't change one word of that. That's what he opened with. And then he did 40 minutes. The speech is 40 minutes. The meanest talk you've ever heard in front of the whole world. Abu. We could hear him crying. I said, Abu, don't cry. Let me tell you something. Abu cried. He cried quite a bit. I wouldn't have cried. Cry baby Baghdadi. That's what we were all calling.
So that's Shane Gillis, funny guy. And the ESPN, they don't know what to do. So normally, like with the Oscars or whatever, you got a comedian and they're sharing clips and they're posting on the socials. ESPN, Dylan, they haven't shared a single thing.
Oh, I bet.
Nothing.
This reminds me of like when Ricky Gervais did the Oscars.
Oh,
it's the same level. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's offended. No one wants to laugh, but it's actual funny jokes.
Sarah Spain, who used to be at ESPN, and she's taking great offense. She said, in a year of crazy growth for women's sports, choosing an ESPYs host who doesn't even try to make clever jokes about women's athletes, he at least attempted for the men. He goes with hacky, no one knows the WNBA bits. Well, it's true. Nobody knew. Nobody at all. I mean, what do you? It's not his fault. He was just speaking truth to the nation. Oh, also said that he repeatedly insults black women. Who did he insult here? Has she not seen the videos? Has she not been on, what is that, Worldwide Star? What do they call that? You know what I'm talking about. We've all seen what happens in the Waffle House. Anyway. You know what? The country needs to step back and just have a sense of humor about all of this. Come on, man. Come on. All right. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show. We've got a great lineup. We've got President Trump. He's going to be doing an executive order signing. I know a lot of questions about his health, but again, it's a very normal thing for people of a certain age, and he'll be fine. We'll also be talking about this Liz Peek column. The left just hates attractive, religious, healthy, conservative women. It's Liz Peek has this up on her website, lizpeek.com. And she's going after a New York Times columnist by the unfortunate name of Jessica Gross. And Ms. Gross is very upset because she says, and this is the title of her piece, The Unrepentant Return of Christian Diet Culture. And she's very concerned about all of you healthy women out there, the ones who actually, you know, don't eat a carton of Ho-Hos. and says that you are the problem with America. So anyway, we're going to get into that tomorrow on the show, because she's very upset at Turning Point USA and the Young Women's Leadership Summit and all of these young girls that are deciding, you know what, maybe I want to be a mom and maybe I want to stay at home and don't go to an office or the workplace. So anyway, fascinating story. Great job, Liz Peek there. All right, folks, it has been a great busy day. Again, if you'd like to download our podcast, please do so. It is free of charge, our newsletter free of charge as well. And don't forget, head over, click on our big red banner, and let's help our good friends and listeners in the Hill Country. Be good, America.